More than 1 million Uyghurs are being detained in the Xinjiang region in northwest China. China's intensifying its campaign at home and abroad against the Muslim minority in its most sweeping internment program since Mao's Cultural Revolution. U.S. officials are now weighing measures to punish the Chinese government for its mass detention of Uyghurs. Ruchan Abbas's aunt and sister are among the disappeared. Abbas is a Uyghur American activist and managing director of the Campaign for Uyghurs. She believes the Chinese government has detained her relatives since September because of her human rights work for Uyghurs. And she told me about the conditions inside the internment camps where she thinks her relatives are being held.
From what we hear, the situation is horrendous. The overcrowded and the hygiene, and then, you know, being surveillance 24 hours a day. You know, the one girl who came out of the camp recently, she described as that she begged for them to kill her because of the horrible situation.
Well, tell us a little bit about the extent of the Chinese government surveilling its citizens, specifically in Xinjiang.
Yes, we call it East Turkestan, and then, you know, now it's being called Xinjiang. The entire region of East Turkestan is under siege these days. The punishment is directed to basically wipe out religious and cultural traditions, and it's being waged collectively against all people of East Turkestan. If we talk about the over a million Uyghur people have been detained in those concentration camps, they are being uprooted from their homes and sent away those Soviet Gulag-styled concentration camps for indoctrination. And they are constantly going through Chinese communist philosophy studies and speaking Chinese. And then their children left home are sent to orphanages. A majority of the Uyghurs today that being on the target are the Uyghur academics, university professors, presidents, intellectuals, musicians, and then the writers and the poets. So imagine over a million people being detained. And the reporting on the detailed real situation is hindered by the information blockade by the communist state. So we don't get real counts of the actual conditions. But one of my classmates' brother, he jumped out of 8th floor window, killed himself because he was called to take him to the camp. That's how bad the situation is in those camps.
Are you able to draw any parallels or comparisons to the Cultural Revolution under Mao Zedong?
We can compare to the Great Cultural Revolution, but only worse than that. Because at that time, the technology wasn't that great. This is back in the 67 to 77, those 10 years. And now the Chinese government is using high tech and the other, like we have accounts of monitoring systems, even in the toilet area and stuff like that. So it's we can say it's far worse than Great Cultural Revolution. They are trying to intimidate people like me, the activists, by hostage taking their family members. And also, the all Uyghur community in diaspora, not only facing the extreme emotional destitution, but also facing a bogus indictments by some of the other members of the community. And some small numbers of overseas Uyghur community are being attacked, harassing, or falsely accused by some people. These groundless slanders. We believe many of these actions are direct result of the communist China's coercing or rewarding some people in order to discourage and disrupt any political movement among the overseas Uyghurs. And Chinese state media reported Shukrat Zakir, who is the chairman of the autonomous region, made the pledge that current target is the Uyghur separatists and the organizations abroad. So basically, Beijing is extending its oppression with its black tentacles to the Uyghurs living abroad.
I just want to go back a second to the type of surveillance that the Chinese government is using in terms of the data it's collecting on people. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
100% of the East Turkestan people, 100% Uyghurs, are subject to DNA testing. They're taking blood from the people, testing their DNAs. We don't know what they are using this for. And then each person has to fill up forms with like detailed information, not only their identification, but giving their like travel information and also their religious beliefs, if they are praying at home or not, how they feel like they are invading inside of their heart and the moral values, basically. And they are obtaining those information against them to evaluate where these persons stand when it comes to their national identity or cultural sense and stuff like that.
The G20 just happened this weekend, and President Trump did not press Chinese leader Xi on the Uyghur detentions. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Vice President Mike Pence have called attention to the issue. There have been some bills here in Capitol Hill that are hoping to sanction Chinese officials. But what's been the international response to this in terms of human rights response? And are you expecting the United States to step up more?
Absolutely. Yes, we are extremely grateful to the lawmakers for initially introducing and supporting the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act of 2018, which was introduced by Senator Marco Rubio, Senator Bob Menendez, Congressman Christopher Smith, and the other 13 lawmakers to condemn those gross human rights violations of ethnic Muslims in East Turkestan, and also calling for an end to arbitrary detention, torture, and harassment of those communities inside and outside of China. I'm still very hopeful that America will do what's right and lead the movement of defending the innocent people. America will not turn their back at the millions of innocent Uyghur people who are looking up to America for help. Making America great again, this doesn't stop at the only economics. And following the talks between President Trump and Xi Jinping in Argentina last weekend, negotiation must include the closure of the concentration camps and the release of all these innocent people in detention.
Rushan Abbas, Managing Director of Campaign for Uyghurs, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
The Chinese Embassy in Washington, D.C. has not yet responded to our request for comment.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.